have gathered this morning to worship a living Savior. May we honor His holy name by our focus on what He has done for each of us. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you on a nice, crisp Lord's Day. Hopefully, we'll get a little relief from the heat this week, so you can put that on your prayer list. Okay, first thing you want to do today is remember, every day, pray for our youth mission trip. They got off on time this morning, and so they're a couple hours into their journey to Chattanooga this morning. So remember each by name. I know each one of them has a prayer partner for the week, but I hope the rest of us, or you, because I have one, that you'll also pray for these folks as they venture forth. Lots of folks vacationing too. Always pray for those who are gone. I mean, everybody deserves a vacation. I'm planning a couple myself here shortly. I believe in vacations. So, but always remember those folks that they're safe and they come back safely, refreshed and ready to go. A few things in the bulletin. There's a couple things for kids this week. That seems to be doing okay, isn't it? Yeah, I saw you in the police car the other day. Yeah, she was in the front seat, not in the back seat. So, you bailed her out. Okay, a couple other things I want to mention. Articles for the newsletter for August are due today. I know what I'll be doing this afternoon. Ministry team leaders, it's time to turn in your team with new additions by August the 4th. Turn that in to Janice for the week. Okay, any other announcements anybody needs to make? If you're visiting, we're glad you're here. I have some friends from the Hamlet with us today, and we're glad to see them. They've been promising me for weeks. Well, I got four here, and we're glad. So I have four. Now, each one of you bring four people next week, and we can fill this place up again. That's the only way it's going to happen, folks. That's the way it's going to happen. Okay, so if you are visiting, we're glad you're here. And we're also glad for our regular folks, too. Good to see June this morning. You can wave back. Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right, let's be serious. Our first scripture this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 15. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. And this is how it's to be done. Every creditor shall cancel the loan he has made to his fellow Israelite. He shall not require payment from his fellow Israelite or brother, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your brother owes you. However, there should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you if only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commandments I am giving you today. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we invoke your blessing upon our time of worship this hour. That we, what we think, what we say, what we sing, what we pray, will be pleasing in your sight. And as we gather to worship, we remember our youth group as they travel, and we pray for your traveling grace. We pray for their week, that they will be a good positive influence for Christ among the folks they'll meet in Chattanooga, and that they too will be drawn closer to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we make this prayer in his name, and we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of praise this morning is a medley of songs. Let's stand and let's worship together.
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
Be seated. Our ministry highlight this morning is our 2019-2020 ministry teams. And if you're serving on one of those teams this past year, we need you to get those new names in by August the 4th, as Norman mentioned already. And if you have been asked to serve on one of those teams for this coming year, please prayerfully consider doing that this year. And the chairmans, please turn those in as soon as you can. If you know that there's not a change this year, go ahead and email Janice and let her know this already. And if there is a change and you know who they are, please go ahead and let Janice know, because all these teams will be voted on at the August 18th roundtable meeting. So as soon as you know the changes, please let Janice know as soon as possible. We appreciate that. Thank y'all. I'm out of breath this morning. Whew. I feel like Norman. I feel like Norman this morning. And I'm talking about the this past week with our wonderful Wednesdays, our children were talking about helpers. And so we had the Elon police come and talk about what they do for our community. And so the kids got to sit in the car and turn on the lights and turn on the sirens and stuff, and they got to sit in the front seat and the back seat. I never knew about the back seat of the car. they said, sure. But it's all hard and plastic. It's not comfortable back there. It's really neat. And I was like, oh, yeah, man, this is neat sitting in the front seat driving. I wanted to take it for a cruise, but they wouldn't let me do that. It's always been my dream to drive a police car and a race car and everything else. But our offertory hymn this morning is We Are All in One in Mission. Now, this is not in your hymn book. This is a new song for you to learn this morning. It is to the tune of The Church is One Foundation. Let's worship together.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have sent our youth to a new place to serve in your name. Open their hearts as they step out of their comfort zone to work in the Chattanooga community. Please watch over them and keep them safe. And as they go to share their physical and personal gifts, we now share a portion of that which you have entrusted to us. Bless these cheerful givers and bless the tithes and offerings that they bring. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel bad about that. She almost left the choir out. My first Sunday in Durham, I did. I wasn't used to their order of service, and it was time for me to get up and preach. And so I did, and they stayed standing behind me for a while. For the next 12 years, they made up for it. We continue our journey through the book of Acts this summer, concluding with chapter 4 this morning, beginning with verse 32. And so as you prepare for the reading, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for times of worship, for the joy of being with fellow believers, for the joy that we share in song and prayer, the reading of your word, the smiles on others' faces, and hopefully ours. You are worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. Father, may we hear your voice today through the scriptures, through the proclamation of the gospel. May we feel your presence in the handshakes and the warm embrace of our neighbors and our friends. May we be the people you have called us to be. That we might share the good news of Jesus the Christ in the giving of his life, that we might have life abundantly on this earth and eternally in your presence. Forgive us for the things that we have done that we shouldn't, the words that we say that are hurtful. Forgive us for the things that we have left undone. And Lord, may we be forgiving of others as we experience your forgiveness in our own lives. Give us ears to hear your word and the strength to carry it out. And we make our prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Verse 32 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. The word of God for the people of God. Our text this morning from Acts 4 is one of the most interesting, wonderful, exciting, and sometimes controversial stories in Scripture. What happened was a specific answer to prayer. You remember after Peter and John were released from jail, they went straight to a prayer meeting at Mother Mary's house. And the believers prayed together for God to stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And you know what? God did. God answered their prayer. They said, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly, and all the believers were one in heart and mind. And no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Have you ever prayed with the expectation that God would answer your prayer through someone else? You ever prayed for God to send out missionaries? Sure you have. I hope you have. You ever prayed that God would lift up somebody in your congregation to follow a call into ministry? Sure you have. Do you ever expect it to be you? And then you pray that God will answer your prayer through somebody else. And then God surprises you by answering your prayer through you. You ever had that experience? The miracle we just read about was performed in the church in Jerusalem. It was among the believers gathered there, and it included their possessions. God answered their prayers through them. It touches my heart and soul when I read all the believers were one in heart and mind. I don't know about you, but I am so sick and tired of the way people in our day fight and argue about everything. Republicans hate Democrats. Democrats hate Republicans. States hate states. We all hate everybody else that isn't just like us. There's pro-issue that, anti-issue this. They're talking heads on TV and radio and in blogs and websites, and even churches can't get along with each other. It's a sad state of affairs, but I sure like reading all the believers were one in heart and mind. How absolutely wonderful it would be if everybody could just get along like they did. But you know, it was more than just those people in that church getting along. They were united. Their hearts beat together. They agreed in what they thought. That's amazing. And I love it. That's the community and church of my dreams. That's as good as it gets. And just when I'm thinking, you know, this must be fabulous. And then I read a little bit further, and it says, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And I said, whoa, let's hold up there. Does that mean you own my stuff? I don't think I like that. I don't want you owning my stuff. I don't want you messing with my stuff. And if I have to give up my possessions, and if I have to give up control of my stuff to have unity of heart and mind, well, I might just skip that. And then I think, shame on me. Shame on me. Am I such a materialist that possessions are now more important than people, especially God's people? Do I love my stuff more than I love the community and fellowship of Christians? Has this me society that we live in turned me into a selfish, greedy person? Listen up. They prayed for the hand of God, and this is what they got. All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Now, before we decide what we really think of that, let's check out the rest of what was happening in the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church had just experienced a spiritual high. They prayed this lofty prayer earlier, as recorded in Acts chapter 4. They praised God in exalted terms. They quoted the Psalms. They prayed for miracles. The room where they prayed was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke boldly the word of God. It was a supernatural encounter with God Himself, and that's about as high as you can get. Maybe you've had such an experience in your life. Think about it. God was there, and you felt you could reach out and touch Him, that you could see Him, that you could hear him. There are no words to use to describe what that was like. You can't do it. You were filled with fear and peace and warmth and excitement all at the same time. You may be even afraid to tell somebody else because you know they'll never understand what you experienced. And that's what it was like for those believers in that Jerusalem church. And then God, being God, turned their spiritual ecstasy into practical reality, for that's what God does with us. It was all about real people. It was all about money. It was about poverty and wealth and believers belonging to the church together. You see, God does not divide our lives into separate compartments where there's a wall between the spiritual us and the practical us. It's a seamless garment. They are woven together. Our lives are about prayer and money. Our lives are about worship and work. Our lives are about the Holy Spirit and the holes in our socks. If Jesus is Lord of your life, Jesus is Lord of all of your life. Those Jerusalem believers sold land, they sold houses so they could help other believers who needed money. It wasn't to build a new big church building or fix the air conditioning or send missionaries somewhere else. It was all about sharing what they had been blessed with, to help one another. And verse 33 says, at the exact same time, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. And what Luke was trying to convey there is that there were social needs and there were spiritual needs, and they met them both all in the name of Jesus. That's what churches are supposed to do. Some modern Christians today have emphasized social action and left out salvation. They're concerned about the poor. They're engaged in helping the sick, the oppressed, the helpless. There are others who emphasize evangelism without social responsibility. They're concerned about everybody's eternal destiny, but they don't care how you live right now. They don't care about current hunger or homelessness or discrimination or poverty. They've left out that part of Christian compassion and caring. But these first century Christians in that church in Jerusalem changed the world because they did both. They were just like Jesus, who cared about the body and the soul. What those believers did was actually breathtaking. They sold land, they sold houses, they sold other possessions that they had, and they brought that money to the church and they put it at the apostles' feet and said, okay, apostles, you pray about it and you decide who needs it the most and you divide it up. Anybody in the church who had a need, they met that need. And verse 34 says it all. There were no needy persons among them. This is a fulfillment of God's dream for Israel recorded in that passage in Deuteronomy that I read earlier. That there should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. Now, don't get the wrong impression here. Everyone did not sell everything all at once and set up a joint bank account where all the believers in the church had their name on the signature card. It didn't work like that. It was intermittent. Scripture says from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them. It was on an needed basis. Some had extra lots, some had extra houses, and they sold them. But you think about it a minute. The miracle was not that they sold and gave. That was wonderful, but that wasn't the miracle. The miracle was this, that no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. That's the miracle. They were completely unselfish. They were fully generous, and they totally cared for one another. Now, this series of sermons from the book of Acts is about how the church changed the world, and this is how they did it. This is how we can do it, too. Care for the body and care for the soul. So, what would you have done? Would you be willing to sell valuable possessions and give them away to help somebody in need? Would you be willing to donate if you didn't get a tax write-off? Would you be willing to turn the cash over to the deacons, put it at their feet, and let them decide who needs it? How much do you think you would be willing to give? Apparently, from reading this text, these Jerusalem believers thought that God had generously blessed them, and so they wanted to, in turn, generously bless others who had the need. You know, that's why God called Abraham, wasn't it? I will make you a blessing so that you can bless others in my name. And that has continued since old Abe was confronted by God. It's what he desires from each one of us. Now, right here in this story, the concluding verses of Acts 4 is what I call a faith story. A faith story is the testimony of an ordinary Christian like you or me who is living out what the Bible actually teaches. In this text, Luke tells the faith story of a man who is an example of what was going on all throughout that church in Jerusalem. And his name was Joseph. Joseph was a Levite from Cyprus. He didn't even live in Jerusalem. He was a tourist. He was there. But he was so united in heart and mind with the other believers that he sent a message home to sell a piece of property that he owned. And when he received the money back, he brought it to the church and put it in the pile of cash right in front of the apostles' feet. And the apostles gave him a nickname. And that nickname stuck so tight to Joseph that we remember his nickname and we forget his real name. They called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So he must have lifted the hearts of lots and lots of people with his love and his generosity. You ever wonder how much he got for that land he sold? How much do you think he gave of that money that he received? Was it 5%, 10%, 20%, 100%? We don't know. It wasn't recorded. I don't think anybody really cared. The number has been forgotten, but his generosity and encouragement has been remembered for the past 2,000 years. Now, what if this story were written today and you and I were used as the example of what was going on in the church in Elon? What do you think our nicknames would be? Wouldn't it be great if we too were nicknamed Encouragement because of our generosity? Should we do what they did? As committed Christians, are we supposed to sell our land and our cabins in the mountain, our homes at the beach, our houses, our boats, our cars, to share that money with Christians who are in need? I think we could. I doubt if we will, but we could. During this interim period and time of transition, let's all try to experience a little of what we just read from Acts today. Let's pray for unity of heart and mind. Let's examine our own generosity. Am I giving enough to help others in need? Am I giving generously to support the vital ministries of this congregation? Let's be the Jerusalem Christians who believed in their hearts that God had richly blessed them, and so they wanted to bless the lives of others. You see, those Christians in the Jerusalem church not only said they believed, they demonstrated their belief by what they actually did. And so let's apply this passage of Scripture in our own lives. Let's be generous, not just with our possessions. Let's be generous with our prayers. Let's be generous with our smiles and our warm embraces of each other. Let's be generous with our time. And let's be generous with our forgiveness. Not for our sake, but for the sake of others and the sake of the kingdom of God. Let's be Barnabas. Let's pray. Generous and giving Father, who gave your one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Help us to follow the example of those early Christians who shared everything they had because they understood that their possessions were really not theirs, but yours. Help us, O Lord, to have unity of heart and mind and purpose as your people in this place. And encouraging God, help us to be like Barnabas so that we too may be sons and daughters of encouragement. And now, O God of life, we pray for even one in our midst today who desires to give themselves to you. May today be the day of salvation. May today be the day of commitment to living a life pleasing to you. And we ask that you would hear our prayer in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn is 275. Would you respond as you sing, "I surrender all," and mean what you say when you sing? I'll be out your way.